Today we conclude our At the Movie series, which has carried us through the whole month of July. It's been an incredibly hot month. So today, as the grand finale, we're going to cool off a little bit with Olaf and the movie Frozen. So if you haven't seen the movie, a brief synopsis, or maybe not so brief synopsis, is in order. The main characters in this movie are sisters, Elsa and Anna, and they're the daughters of the king and queen of a place called Arendelle. Now, Elsa is the oldest daughter. She's on the right of the screen. And the thing that's interesting about Elsa is she has special powers. And she's had these powers since she was a little girl. She has the power to create winter weather. She can make it snow. She can shoot ice bursts from her hands. You know, she's a pretty cool sister to have, because when we were young, how many of us would not have wanted the ability to create a snow day just like that? Everybody would love that, right? Elsa can create ice skating rinks. She even made this magical snowman, this lovable snowman named Olaf. And so they live a magical and snowy life together, Elsa and Anna. They play all the time together. But Elsa's powers become a liability one day when Elsa accidentally hits Anna with one of these ice bursts, these ice bolts, and it hits her in the head, and she's injured. And so thanks to the magical intervention of some trolls in the movie, Anna's able to survive. She makes a full recovery. But in order to protect her from Elsa's magic, the trolls remove any memory in Anna of her sister's powers. So she recovers, but when she recovers, she doesn't remember that Elsa has these powers. And not only that, but the king and queen decide that the best thing for them to do is to isolate, basically to put Elsa in solitary confinement, not as a punishment for what has happened, but as a way to make sure nobody finds out about these special powers that she has, and as a way to prevent any kind of accidents like this happening again. So they put her in solitary confinement. And the plan works. The whole family is essentially cloistered off in this castle. They close the gates of the city, and nobody, over the years, nobody finds out about Elsa's powers, and she is prevented from using her powers in a way that could be harmful to anybody else. Years later, however, Anna and Elsa's parents, the king and queen, are going on a journey across the Atlantic, and a big storm comes up, the ship goes down, and they're lost in this tragic storm. And eventually the day comes where Elsa has to take over the throne. She is the heir to the throne. And so the day of her coronation comes, all the whole country gathers together. They have this big celebration. She receives the scepter and the crown, and she becomes queen. And at the party that follows this coronation ceremony, Anna comes up to her and shares with her that she wants Elsa's blessing over her marriage. She just met this guy at the party. She falls head over heels in love. She wants to get married. So she comes to Elsa and asks for her blessing. And Elsa is not so ready to give her blessing for this wedding. In fact, she gets so upset that she loses control over her powers, and she just starts freezing stuff. Stuff just starts, fountains freeze. She's firing ice bolts and snow falls, and it turns into a scene. And in order to escape that, Elsa flees into the mountains and builds her very own ice castle of solitude away from the world. Now, Anna follows after her sister. She wants to apologize for upsetting her. She also wants to bring Elsa back home to Arendelle. But in this conversation that ensues, Elsa believes her powers are too dangerous to risk that. She doesn't want to risk hurting anybody else. She particularly doesn't want to risk hurting Anna. But during their conversation, as you can imagine, emotions run high, and emotions fuel her powers. And without even knowing it, Elsa fires off a couple of icy blasts, and one of them hits Anna in the heart. Now, injured, Anna leaves, but she, the longer she goes, she travels back to Arendelle, but she grows weaker and weaker. And her, this, the ice that hit her heart starts to spread to her whole body. And even the trolls who rescued her as a child say that the only thing that can save her now, the only thing that can keep her from freezing completely into an ice statue forever, is an act of true love. And so she travels back to the castle in search of her, the guy she had met. She thought she was going to marry, and his name is Hans. And unfortunately, Hans turns out to be a not so nice guy, and he locks her in this room, and she's all by herself, and she's growing weaker and colder, and it looks like this is going to be the end of Anna. But then Olaf, this lovable snowman, shows up. I want you to see what Olaf does.
In accordance with copyright law, the audio from the movie clips that were shown during the sermon have been removed.
I told you Olaf is a very lovable guy. Did you hear what he said? He said, "Well, I know what love is. Love is putting someone else's needs before your own. Some people are worth melting for." That brings us to our scripture passage for today. This is from John chapter 15, and I'll begin reading at verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, you are worth melting for. Can you do that for me? You are worth melting for. I even saw a couple of hugs out there, which is kind of cool because Olaf says he likes warm hugs. Only snowman who would say that, right? But you are worth melting for. This is Aaron Ralston. Some of you may recognize him, or if you don't recognize him, maybe you recognize his name. 13 years ago, when he was 27 years old, Ralston was hiking alone in southeastern Utah, and he came to a place in this trail where he had to descend down a slot canyon. A slot canyon is a huge ravine that's been carved in rock by running water. So it was very tight quarters. He was descending in the slot canyon when all of a sudden a loose boulder started to move and rolled on top of his hand. And it crushed his hand and pinned him in against the wall of this canyon, and there he was stuck. And so he was there, obviously in pain, but trying to figure out a way he was going to free himself from this predicament. He tried everything. He tried his best to move. He used all of his might to try to move this boulder, but it was far too big. He couldn't even get it to budge. And he tried everything else. He tried to, whatever leverage he could get. He tried even to pull his pocket knife out of his pocket with his left hand and try to chip away at the rock to see if he could get it to move just a little bit, so maybe he could break free from this spot. But he couldn't. Nothing he tried worked. And over the course of 5 days, he was there, trapped, and finally he ate all the food he had with him. He drank all the water that he was able to carry with him on that trail. all the while he's praying for somebody, hoping that somebody would find him, would rescue him, but nobody ever did. And so finally, out of desperation and partially dehydrated delusion, he made the decision to free himself from this boulder by amputating his own arm. Some of you, if you're squeamish about these kind of things, you might want to cover your ears. But what he did was tie a tourniquet around his arm. And then, because the only tool he had was this pocket knife that he'd already dulled by trying to chip away at the rock, he broke his arm using torque from the rock. And then he used that pocket knife to amputate. After he'd done that, he freed himself. He still had to rappel down a 65-foot sheer rock face and then had to start the 8-mile hike back to his truck. So there he was, after being very weakened by all of this ordeal, having had very little food and very little water, he starts this hike to his truck. And thankfully, he runs into a family who is vacationing from the Netherlands who quickly give him water and call for help, and Aaron Ralston was rescued. Now, this amazing story is proof of something you probably already know. There is within each one of us this drive for survival. It's instinctual. It's written, it's wired right into us, this drive to want to survive, this drive for self-preservation. And it's incredibly strong. So strong that it would take a terribly strong force to make us go against that drive for survival, for self-preservation. The strongest force on earth, at least that I know of, the strongest force on earth is certainly capable of making us go against that drive for survival. That force, of course, the strongest force I know of, is the force of love. Under certain circumstances, no doubt, love can make us work against our instincts towards self-preservation. Love is a force powerful enough to compel a snowman to build a fire for somebody he cares about. Now, that's counterintuitive. It's not a good idea for a snowman to build a fire. But love compels Olaf to do that for Anna. Love can make us work against that drive, our wiring. After all, some people are worth melting for. That's how Olaf said it. That's not how Jesus said it. Jesus says it like this: no greater love has anyone than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, no doubt Jesus says this as a way of foreshadowing what he's about to do for his disciples. He's talking to his disciples, and he knows what lies ahead. And he says, no greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus already knows. He knows how the story is going to end for him. He knows that he's going to travel to Jerusalem, and he's going to walk straight into the face of death. He knows that he's going to go there in order to sacrifice himself on the cross for us. And he's going to offer his life, walk willingly into death, so that we might be assured of life. Sometimes I worry that story has become so familiar to us that it loses its power. Let me not speak for all of you. Let me just speak for myself. Sometimes I worry that I have heard and I have preached about Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross so much that I have become numb to it, that it's become commonplace. And that's a temptation for all of us, I think. And we've all become sort of inoculated to just how radical and revolutionary this story is, that Jesus, who is God in the flesh, loved us so much that he was willing to go against whatever instincts, human instincts he obviously had, because he was very much human and he was very much God. But he went against all those human instincts for survival. He loved us so much that he walked straight into the face of certain death and laid down his life for us. Now, if you're here this morning and you're normally not a church person, maybe somebody convinced you to come today because they told you we're going to be talking about the movie Frozen. Or maybe somebody convinced you to come today because they promised you lunch after this. But if you're here and you've never heard this story, if you're here and maybe you've heard the story, but you haven't really paid attention to this story about Jesus and His tremendous love for us, love that would cause Him to sacrifice Himself on our behalf. If you've never heard about this, I don't want you to miss this. Our entire faith is based on this unshakable belief that God Almighty thinks you are worth melting for. The same God who created the universe thinks that you are worth melting for. Our entire faith is built on this belief that God loves us tremendously. God loves us so much that God would become one of us in the person of Jesus. God's love is so powerful a force that it caused Jesus to resist all instincts for self-preservation and to willingly die for you and for me. For all of us, our whole faith rests on this conviction that God is so good and so loving that He pursued us relentlessly and gave everything in order to have a relationship with us. And the only thing Jesus asked for in return for us as disciples is that we turn back around and give our lives for Him. Now, He doesn't want us to die, certainly not, but He wants us to live in such a way that our lives are patterned after His way of life, that we live the kind of love that He exhibited toward us. He wants us to surrender our plans for our lives. He wants us to give in to His plans, and He wants us to share the same ferocious love with others that He has shared with us. Now in the movie, it's not just Olaf, the snowman, who exhibits sacrificial love. At the very end of the movie, Anna's time is running out. This ice that hit her heart is starting to spread, and she knows she doesn't have much longer. She's getting weaker and colder by the second, and she's starting to freeze. And only an act of true love can save her. She thought that act of true love was going to come from this character, Hans, but then she turns her attention to Kristoff, who really does love her, and she sees Kristoff running toward her, and she's starting to freeze, so she can only slowly move toward him, but she sees him coming, and then she hears this noise, and she turns around. I'll let you see the clip.
In accordance with copyright law, the audio from the movie clips that were shown during this sermon have been removed.
So that drive for self-preservation and survival was pushing Anna in the direction of Kristoff, who is coming to her rescue. But then she turns and sees her sister, who's about to be killed by Hans. And she turns away from her rescuer in order to go and sacrifice herself for his sister. Do you hear what Elsa said when Anna finally thawed? She said, "Anna, you were willing to sacrifice for me?" And then Anna didn't say this, but this is what I heard. "Well, duh." What she said was, "I love you. I love you." Of course, love is the only force powerful enough to melt a frozen heart. And of course, that love that Anna showed for Elsa then kind of funnels through Elsa, and she radiates that love to the rest of their world. And all of a sudden, love redeems that whole situation, and the whole place, all of Arendelle, starts to thaw out. Love has that power to transform and to redeem. And in a world that's all about self-preservation and protection and survival and taking care of our own individual self-interests, the sacrificial love of Jesus is the only thing that can transform and redeem this world. Jesus said, "No greater love has anyone than this, and to give one's life for one's friends." According to Jesus, you are worth melting for. Amen.
Please.